time for Wednesday's hour number two on Hashtag Daily K with your host, Peter Bint.
Korean dramas, movies, and even lyrics. Why is the world paying attention to Korean stories?
From classics to modern masterpieces, time to dig deep into the charms of Korean literature.
Oh, check it out!
With Paul.
Joo-hyun is just as entertained as Paul is. She's watching from the news studio, and I can read her mind. Me and Joo-hyun, we had this telepathy. She's thinking, how on earth is such a sexy, attractive guy like Peter hosting a show here at Arirang Radio? We're so lucky to have him. She just said that, and she's getting up, and she's trying to break through the window.
I think she's picked up a knife.
Listen, you're not allowed in the studio right now, Joo-hyun, okay? Fans, just calm down, take a deep breath.
What's going on?
I was very excited because, you know, last week, I think it was, you kind of berated me for not being too into our little whirling of pens in the intro music.
Yeah, but you were just taking the mickey there.
No. That was my sincere excitement.
You said this wasn't going to be a banter day, and you've already started off on the wrong foot. Stacey, I'm really sorry if you're upset by this, but Peter has brought this upon himself.
Look at that. Leon, you know where it's at. I can't stop laughing. Already so funny. That's hilarious, Peter, Sophie. Mr. Beant, my nickname from Raoul, is happy. I am happy. Are you happy, Paul?
I'm all right. I'm good. Doing all right.
It's autumn. It's lovely.
It cool is breezes. Lovely, but it's our last day.
Last day of what? Autumn? Is it winter tomorrow?
It's my last time on the show.
This season, right? Are you back next season?
Yes, I'm back next season.
Are you sure?
I don't know. Peter was sending me some messages this week.
I was trying to really be an annoying host and ask if you could change days.
I can't change days.
Minute. No, so Paul will be here Wednesday.
I'll be here every Wednesday. It's my last day of this season.
Okay.
Yes.
And we're so happy and lucky to have you here next season. This is one of my favourite corners. I will say, maybe the excitement in the opening is because I am really excited about today's book.
Yes, but we can't talk about today's book yet.
Before the hashtag. I know.
Yes.
But, so I won't say it again, but I'll be honest, hands held up high, sometimes I'm not excited about the book of the day.
That's fair enough. It might not be your genre. It might not be your type. It may not sort of bring you in. It may not deng you, as we say in Korean.
But this one does. So I'm looking forward to
good.
That. But like
I'm
you said,
glad.
Hashtag. It's quite a fun one today, I thought. Kusuldam.
Yes.
What does that bring to mind? Beads of sweat, or literally like marble sweat.
Brings to mind me outside the studio about 40 minutes ago as I tried to beat the latest boss on Tears of the Kingdom. Oh, he almost killed me.
Are you playing that game on the go?
Yeah.
Oh, so you've brought the Switch, the whole console
I've brought
out
the console
you.
That we won't name with me. Yes.
We won't call it that.
I'm sorry to my books because, quite frankly, I've not been reading a lot in the last 2 weeks.
Wow. You've been really into the new edition of Zelda, right?
Yeah.
Is it amazing?
It is amazing. Look, I don't play a lot of games.
Okay.
But when I find a game I like.
Yeah.
It's incredible
because
you dive into whatever world it is.
Oh, I'm so envious and jealous. Yesterday, and I told you I was trying to get one of that console's controllers to link up to my PC.
Yeah.
The reason, I never play games on my PC.
Right.
But I'm taking part in this filming of a video for the new football game, FC Online.
Yes.
It used to be like FIFA. I don't know if you ever played football games.
That was not my choice of genre, I'll be honest.
I used to love them like 10 years ago. But since I had a kid, I haven't played. I've started filming this video, so I started playing. I'm hooked again. I think I am going to be a neglectful father for the next month or two.
Look, everything in moderation, Peter. You've got to get
You're walking around with this console in your face.
Not walking around with it.
You sometimes read with a book.
Yeah, but I don't play games while I'm walking.
Is that where the line is drawn?
Because you're using a lot of motor skills.
Okay, so you've got to be sitting down for that.
Oh, sure.
Oh, wow.
Or standing up and stationary.
And do you really feel, not maybe literal beads of sweat, but you do get tense while playing?
Oh, yeah, there are moments there. If you get to any game with a big boss battle where it's your first time facing the boss, and I'm sure many people can relate to this, You will literally start sweating if things are going wrong. And if it's one of those games where you forgot to save before you went in.
No. That's awful.
So, yes, I have to say, beads of sweat when you're playing your favourite game that's not easy, not a relaxing, cosy game, but something that requires a bit of skill and gets the tension in your blood pumping. Sure, beads of sweat come out there.
Wow. Brian's saying I'm currently addicted to that game as well.
I think many people are. There's a couple of games around at the moment. There's Baldur's Gate 3, there's the new Zelda, there's all sorts of games, Starfield as well, where people are sweating.
Wow,
beads of sweat coming out.
Brian says he's trying to 100% it. So
it's going to take a while, all those little Koroks.
Wow, I have no idea what you're talking about.
No. Neither does anyone else who's not played the games. Moving on.
So not a book about Koroks, whatever they are.
But we are talking about nature, which is part of the game.
Oh.
We are talking about a forest. In fact, the Korean title is Sojok Supuro Katta.
Oh, like literally went to the West Forest or the Forest to the West.
Exactly. But the English name is The Owl Cries. It's by Pyeonhae Young. It's translated by Sora Kim Russell. And it is, just like you, so exciting for me to be able to talk about it. It came out last Tuesday. That was the publication date.
Oh, wow.
My credit card was over the limit, so I pre-ordered it and it didn't come.
Uh-oh.
I had to wait because it was a national holiday last Tuesday.
Oh,
I had to wait to the Wednesday to call the bank to clear my credit card so I could buy it.
All right, stop buying so many books, Paul.
I know, but I'm really excited because every time we get a Sora Kim Russell translation of Pyeonhae Young, we have a good time.
Yeah.
If you love something a little bit creepy, if you love horror and you love Korean horror, this is going to be a book for you. And I love Korean horror.
Oh, great, because I was a bit worried. Recently, we've done a few authors that have done completely different genres.
Sure.
But in this case, we're sticking to
I wouldn't say this is not the same as her other books. It's a different sort of feel to it. More a mystery, a little bit of a detective noir at the same time, but very, very creepy.
Wow.
It's a tale of this disturbing forest, and there's a missing brother.
Oh.
And that's all I'm going to say for now.
Okay. Tell us about Pyeonhae Young for anyone who didn't hear us read her in the past.
She is incredible. Born in Seoul in 1972, she studied creative writing, went to Hanyang University, got a degree in Korean literature. She was an office worker for a while to support herself, and then she started getting published in 2000 and started winning awards. And the first book we featured on the show, that translation by Sora Kim Russell of The Hole, won the Shirley Jackson Award for Best Novel in 2017. And Shirley Jackson was one of the seminal 20th century horror writers in the US. Four of her novels have been translated by Sora Kim Russell. We featured The Hole. We featured City of Ash and Red. We featured The Law of Lines.
Wow.
There's also Holiday Home we covered before, that short story. And today we get to feature The Owl Cries.
Oh, and Sora Kim Russell, as you mentioned, translating this one as well. And we met her. She came to the studio a couple of years back.
And what I want to say thanks to both Sora Kim Russell and to Anton Herr and to a few other translators for taking a chance on translating horror. I think it's Victoria Caudill as well who translated Dolmin Key's book. Because horror is a specific genre. It's also a very popular one, but it's not considered to be in quotation marks literature or literary. But I love horror, and I love getting the chance to experience Korean horror in English.
Yes, thank you, Sora Kim Russell, for giving us this one as well. So, set the scene. Is this a long tome, by the way?
It's a full novel. Okay. It's 281 pages on the ebook, which is not too bad.
Okay.
And we're going to start towards the beginning of the book, in the first chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this forest ranger. His name is Insu Park.
Okay.
And he's sort of warding off visitors to the forest. He's saying, no, you're sorry, can't go in there, can't go in there. And then this new visitor comes in a car, gets out, and he's an attorney. His name is Hein Lee.
Oh.
And he starts asking some rather probing questions to Insu Park, the ranger.
Let's pick it up from there.
What are you doing here anyway? I'm looking into something. Now, Insu was the one itching to ask questions. Is it a legal matter? Insu lowered his voice. Like a division of assets, as in between the people who own this forest? Hein wondered about the strange note of anticipation behind the annoyance in Insu's voice. Insu's gaze had gone from glimmering with confusion to gleaming with curiosity, as if looking forward to a forest fire. And in fact, as soon as Insu's embarrassment had faded, and he knew he wasn't in any trouble, he did feel a certain excitement. The forest was boring. He hadn't been there long, but it was. Stuck in the ranger station all day, Insu passed the time daydreaming about what might happen in the woods. Sadly, the only thing he ever came up with was losing his job due to a forest fire. Forest fire. Insu dusted off the armband he was carrying as if blaming it for such blasphemous thoughts. It was only because he was stuck indoors all day like a piece of old office furniture that he would think of something so awful. Of course, he didn't really want a fire to break out. "It's nothing like that," Hein said. Insu felt disappointed for reasons he couldn't name. His curiosity toward the lawyer evaporated. He braced himself for a long, boring story, his body's language stiff and defensive, and his eyes fixed on the station as if to say he didn't have time to chat. "I'm here to ask for help."
"From me?"
"Yes. Do you need me to give a deposition or something?"
"No."
"Is it a lawsuit?"
"It's not that either."
"Then what is it?"
"I'm looking for someone."
"Is it someone I know?"
"I don't think you know them."
"So why are you looking for them here?"
"Because there's a chance you might know them."
"Who is it?"
"The person who worked here before you."
Now that Insu thought about it, he knew nothing about his predecessor. The person was already gone by the time he started the job. The one who'd explained the work to him was Professor Jin. Insu straightened up. "But who is he?"
"My older brother."
Insu studied Hein. His nose was long and thin compared to the rest of his face. It didn't exactly make for an unattractive face, but there was something off about it. It wasn't helped by the fact that his eyes were different sizes, apparent even at a quick glance. Only one of his eyes had a fold in the eyelid, which made it seem overly large. But despite the overall asymmetry and his impersonal, if sharp, business suit, it was a face that left a lasting impression. If his predecessor really was this guy's brother, did he look like him too?
Welcome to Arirang Radio.
So what happened to the brother? Do we find out?
Well, this is the big mystery that we think we're here to solve.
Okay.
At the start of the book. So Hein's come from the city. He's given himself 3 days to find out what's happened.
Uh-huh.
Because 6 months previously, he got this late night call about 10 p.m. Uh-huh. from an unknown number, and it was his brother.
Oh.
And when he answered it, it's like, "What? Hello?" Yeah. But his brother wasn't talking much and there was a lot of noise.
Mm.
And they've never got on. His older brother was a bully.
Ah.
And beat him when he was a kid.
Oh, dear.
And he's sort of, "Are you okay?" And then there's more noise down the line. And then a little bit of silence and his brother's not talking. And then his brother starts to cry.
Oh.
And then his brother starts sobbing.
Oh, that's very worrisome.
And Hein sort of reaches up to his cheek to check his tears, because he's normally the one who cries whenever he talks to his brother.
Oh.
But he's not the one crying here. Okay. And he's sort of weirded out, so he just hangs up.
What?
Yeah, because he doesn't know what's going on. They're not friends.
Okay.
You know, and he hasn't seen him for ages. And he then talks to their mother later and finds out his brother called her a little later that evening. And he said to her the owl was crying and the trees were attacking him. And then he was never heard from again.
Oh.
That was the last contact he had with his family.
Sounds a bit mad.
Yeah, something very odd is going on here. So Hein is quizzing Insu.
Mm-hmm.
And Insu is at first a little bit reticent, but it seems like exciting compared to the boring ranger job. And he starts to open up and talk about what he does and what he knows. And he knows nothing, basically.
Okay.
He's only been there a couple of weeks. And Hein gets the name of his boss, mm-hmm. Professor Jin. And Insu's like, "I'll try and arrange a meeting for you, you know, yeah." But he's a bit sort of, "Oh, I don't know if I should do this."
Yeah.
In all honesty, though, Hein doesn't really want to find his brother.
Oh.
He just wants to confirm he's dead or gone. That's
it. Oh, okay.
There's so much bad blood between him. He's not looking to find a living brother again.
That's a shame.
Yeah. But then the mystery gets deeper. He goes to this old research centre. All the scientists have left, but there's a couple of administrative workers there.
Oh, in the forest?
Yeah. Ooh. And the worker says,
your brother a ranger? No. The ranger for the forest hasn't changed for 2 years. It's been the same guy.
Oh, so his brother was the ranger?
That's what he thought.
Oh.
And there's no record of his brother being a ranger. But also, the ranger's name that she's got on record is not Park In-soo. It's not Park, it's Kim.
Okay.
So then is In-soo Park the real ranger?
As in the guy that he just
his
met?
His name is not on there.
Oh, who was so, that?
Well, this is, we don't know. The real ranger who's on the list, his surname is Kim.
Uh-oh.
So this all gets really quite creepy and disturbing. Wow. And the administrative worker says, look, ask around the village. I don't know who knows. There's a few shops. And so Hyun does that. And as he talks to these different shop owners, we get a glimpse into their thought processes as well.
Uh-huh.
So he talks to Che, who runs the dry cleaners. And Che knows something, but he keeps his mouth shut.
Oh.
He talks to Han, who runs the bookshop, and Han knows something, and he's keeping his mouth shut.
Oh, why?
And then he goes to the bar run by Annam Lee, and he knows something. They're all keeping their mouth shut. And Hein, he calls his paralegal back in the city and is sort of explaining, look, obviously something suspicious is going on, but no one's talking.
Uh-huh.
Look, I'm probably just going to head home
because
this is not working out. And so he goes to Lee's bar to have a drink and to have a chat with him.
Mm.
And at the bar, he shows him a photo of his brother. And this is where our second reading takes off.
Oh, I'm so intrigued. Why are they not saying anything? Let's find out.
Would you mind taking a look at this photo? Who am I looking at? My older brother. Annam looked at that face that Hyun was pointing to in the photo and swallowed hard. He feared that guy might have noticed that his Adam's apple was trembling. The thought of it made his hands shake too. He knew he should keep his mouth shut. If he said anything at all, the tremor in his voice would betray him. His next words were going to be that he didn't recognize the face in the photo. That much, at least, was true. He could no longer remember the face. He had no memory whatsoever of how tall or short the man was, how big or small, what his voice had sounded like, whether he'd been a big drinker or not. What he did remember about the forest ranger was not his face, but his two violently trembling legs. The legs that had folded up like a bug's to try to fend off the beating. When he'd grabbed those legs to pull them straight, his hands weren't shaking like this. His sweat hadn't poured out of him non-stop. He'd done it with relative calm, though in hindsight he might have revised his memory of it over the years. Annam avoided having to say anything at all by turning to look toward the kitchen to see if Hein's food was ready yet. Changi had told him that guy was a lawyer. It was true that the word lawyer had made Annam a little nervous. His first thought was that someone in the village had lawyered up. He tried to imagine what could have happened for someone to hire a defense lawyer and felt overcome with a vague sense of dread. But now that he knew the lawyer was the forest ranger's younger brother, his fear quickly faded. If he was that coward's younger brother, then Hein was bound to be a coward himself. Annam regretted not having disguised his nervousness better. But with a lawyer, there was always the risk they would use the power of the law to force answers to their questions or compel the authorities to dig for information. And Hein was not only a lawyer, but also the ranger's family. He could step up and do his own digging. Annam's palms began to sweat. Had he still been holding the photo, he definitely would have dropped it. Sandwich! Annam's wife's voice floated over from the kitchen. He'd never been so happy to hear her voice before. Usually he felt like she was only there to spy on him all day, a sensation that left him constantly on edge, and sometimes made him hate her for no reason. He was convinced this was the real reason she insisted on working in the kitchen in the first place. But in that moment he was grateful for her presence. He rushed over to the kitchen and brought the sandwich to Hein's table. Enjoy. Hold on, Hein said, stopping Annam before he could walk away. Slowly, Annam turned to face him. The fact that he was a lawyer refused to fade from Annam's thoughts and left him feeling as nervous as if he were on the witness stand. I'd like a beer too. Annam's face relaxed. No problem.
Something sinister is happening. Does Haim find out?
Well, we hope he does, but he doesn't have all the answers. No one is telling him anything, even though he knows something's going on.
Yeah.
And he stays at the bar and he has a couple more drinks. And then Professor Jin arrives to talk
boss.
To him.
Okay.
Yeah. And Jin is also cagey, but quite sort of hard.
Okay.
In Korean we say that, tak-take,
sort
of quite sharp.
Okay.
And he justifies the discrepancies of the records about the Rangers, and he claims not to recognize the brother's photo, and he wishes him luck, and he leaves.
Okay.
And Hein is just really filled with suspicion that this something is being hidden by this village, by these men. But he's going to give up. He's going to head back to the city in the morning because it seems unsolvable.
Okay.
So he steps out the bar into the night air and is run over by a huge truck.
What?
And the last sound he hears is the cry of an owl.
He's run over?
He's killed.
Oh my goodness.
And then we're into part two of the book.
Oh, well, so that's not the main story.
No, we join Insu the Ranger again. And he's beginning to suspect that things are not right around here.
Okay.
And we learn more about him. He's an alcoholic.
Uh-huh.
And we learn about one time when he was so, so very drunk. He hurt his son so badly.
Oh, no.
And his wife has never forgiven him. His son is a shadow of his former self, doesn't talk anymore.
Mm.
And he's filled with guilt and self-loathing. And he's worried about the villagers and the forest and his boss and the cellar that he does not have the key to under the house.
Oh.
And he has moments of panic. And he has waking nightmares. And he's even more disturbed and shocked when his wife comes home and says, did you hear about that lawyer that got run over? She says, everyone says, he was completely drunk and just staggered into the road. And Insu is suspicious. Who was driving? Insu asked to change the subject. Who knows, she said patiently. This town is full of giant trucks after dark. They go right past here too. It was probably one of those. They say the only evidence is skid marks. That's only enough to hint at what type of vehicle it was. I found out today that, unlike everywhere else, none of the roads around here have any cameras. Insu had also thought about the many trucks on the road after dark, though there'd been fewer lately. He had lost a lot of sleep when they first moved in because of all the trucks speeding back and forth along the forest road in the middle of the night. When he'd asked Eugene about it back then, she'd made some absent-minded response to the effect that the trucks had to get somewhere. We'd better be more careful too, Eugene said to Insu. Insu looked at her and nodded sheepishly. He felt grateful to her for saying we instead of you. By the way, honey, you said that man gave you a photo of his older brother. Where did you put it? In a drawer at work. Throw it away. Tear it up or burn it if you have to. It's a photo of a missing person given to you by a dead man. It was weighing on me the whole way back. Okay, I will. Honey? Her voice faltered. Thank you. With that, she picked her grocery bags up from where she'd set them on the floor and went into the kitchen. Seo followed his mother like a shadow. Insu wasn't sure why his wife had thanked him, or what she had thanked him for. For all he knew, she was thanking him for not drinking, or because he'd said yes to her like an obedient child. Yes, he would do whatever she told him to. Alone in the living room once again, Insu felt the pain in his teeth reignite. Maybe it was because of that phrase, thank you. Because of those words, he realized unexpectedly that he would have to work unceasingly to not get under Eugene's skin, and that, by expressing her encouragement and gratitude, she was goading him not to pee her off. Nevertheless, Insu hoped he would be able to follow through. Wouldn't his wife be happy as long as he was making an effort? With that thought, he got up from the sofa when he heard the doorbell ring. Even before asking himself who it was, he checked the time. it was a little past 6 o'clock. The time he would normally be heading home from work, but 6 o'clock in the forest was as dark as midnight in the city. This was no time for paying anyone a social visit. Insu headed slowly to the front door towards his rude late night visitor.
I'm a bit suspicious of this wife as well now. Ooh, after that.
Suspicious of everyone.
Who's at the door? What happens? Come on, just lay it all out for us,
okay,
Paul.
Yeah. Professor Jin is at the door.
Oh.
But the reason why he's come,
yep,
and what he's going to say,
mm,
and what he's brought with him,
oh, yeah,
and what he's going to do,
good.
Is in the book, so you can read it for yourself.
No, that's what you're here for.
No, as always, Peter, especially when we deal with genre and mystery and horror, and especially when the book was only published last week.
All right.
I'm not going to spoil it. I've given you a third of the book.
What?
There's two-thirds left, and there's so much more of the mystery to uncover, and there's so much more creepiness that's going to happen. You will be unsettled.
Wow, yeah, I'm very unsettled already by that sudden death, by this creepy wife.
Oh. What do you mean a creepy wife?
Oh, there's something. Why is she telling him to get rid of the picture like that? She's
in on
it.
Would you want a dead man's picture in your house?
Well, we don't know that the brother's dead, do we?
No, but the man who gave him the picture is dead. It's his picture.
Yeah, or is he? Or is he dead?
No, he's dead.
Okay.
Hein is dead. Yeah.
Okay, definitely dead. So many of you loving this.
Oh, good.
Just borrow the book, Peter, from Paul. Yes. I think my credit card's reached its limit as well.
Unfortunately, I've got an e-book, so I can't exactly lend it to you.
Give me your phone then.
Fine.
There we go.
Tigerish is saying it's a very nice setup, like an old dime novel about a PI who had a client walk into his office after a long period of dullness, and a plot twist could happen. So the ranger isn't the ranger, he just thinks he's the ranger? Did I understand that right? He is the ranger, he's been employed as the ranger, but the records say different.
Mm.
And Tigris says, so the older brother had terrorised the town and the town got revenge?
Mm.
I'm not saying anything, you can speculate as much as you like. And Tigris also saying, it's a horror story, but we, the audience, know what's happening in the minds of them all. Is there something deeper in the tale, perhaps? There's an owl.
No,
an
there
owl
is.
That cries.
When someone dies, it seems. Sophie's saying the story chilling to my bones. And it seems like maybe the brother wanted help through that phone call, but was maybe a bit too proud to ask and just ended up sobbing. Well, I hope that gets solved. I'm really curious.
A lot of
that.
Things get solved, but I'm not going to say what's okay. happened. But I will say, if you enjoy creepy stories and you enjoy stories about creepy villages and creepy forests, then this is right up your alley.
Oh.
It also looks at a really interesting aspect of Korean society that I don't think gets covered much in K-film or K-drama or K-literature, in modern stuff.
Yeah.
And that's village life now.
Uh-huh.
Because Korea's population is a record low. Birth rates are at a record low.
Yeah.
And we've got towns and villages going extinct, in quotation marks.
Schools closing down all the time.
Exactly. And a lot of people are choosing to head to the bright lights of the big city, but some people stay behind.
Yeah.
But the question is, why do you stay behind?
Oh, no, surely there aren't too many real creepy reasons for staying. Scared me now,
no,
Paul.
I'm saying in the book. Also, it's also sort of highlighting that thing of where once there might have been a flourishing community, there's now just a few people, and what it might be like to live in that circumstances, especially if everyone else knows each other, but you don't know them.
Yeah, when you're the newcomer, that's why sometimes people are reluctant to go to the countryside. I remember in the UK, like, going to Scotland one time for a drive, driving to Scotland. Didn't just go for a drive. That's a long drive, isn't it? But we stopped off at some villages on the way, and we really felt like everyone was staring at us.
You're not from round here, are you?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
You've come from down there, London town, haven't you?
If I stayed the night, I would have been hit by a truck as well, I'm sure of it.
Don't go to the moor at night, Peter. A beast lies there waiting.
I felt that way. That's why I got out of there quick shot.
So it's playing on that, and it's playing on sort of the traditions of folk horror as well. Mm. And it's something a little bit different, in the same way that Bora Chung's Cursed Bunny was something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about this season, because we are at the last episode ever.
of this season
for me is that I've, over the past 6 months or so, I've been able to cover such a wide range of Korean literature, from very classic stories to the more melancholy melodramas to sci-fi to horror. And it feels like ending on this today is a celebration of the past 6 months and all the brilliant, brilliant books we've had a chance to share.
Oh, I'm so curious about this one. Give us your one-line review.
A deeply unsettling trip into the woods that leaves you as scared as the villagers who live nearby.
Well, I should have put an age warning on that. You've just upset a lot of little kids. So next season, which is just a week away, do we have a book already lined up, or is that going to be to be announced?
Scoundrels by Kim Yo-jung, translated by Charles LeSure. It's available online for free, so you can read it before without having to pay any money.
Is it also a horror?
No, it's a classic. Okay. It's a classic. Okay. We're starting off with classic Korean fiction.
Great. Looking forward to that. Thank you, Paul, for your brilliant, creepy read.
Thanks, as always, to the Literature Translation Institute of Korea for their help with copyright permissions for this broadcast. And thanks to Pyeon Hae-young for her creepy story, and to Sora Kim Russell for her brilliant translation. Watch your back, because I'll be back next week.
You should be on
with
Twilight Zone.
Book.
We should just do horror stories every single week.
What's that behind you, Peter?
Nothing.
What's that? What's that? It's a tree. It's a tree. It's the tree's... Ah!
To-it-to-woo. Paul might be back next week. You can listen to Check It Out with Paul Matthews on Arirang Radio's hashtag Daily K every Wednesday from 10 a.m. KST.